الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم رب زدني علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو وترضى Beloved, respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to read Salatul Maghrib with Jama'at. This is through the fadl, through the kindness, the grace, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us at this time and age when there's so much corruption and fitna out there. If Allah brings somebody to the masjid and he can read salat with jama'at, it's a ni'mat, and a person should thank Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamda wa laka shukr. La nuhsi thanan alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsi. Beloved friends, right now the season is, I'll say this is the season of reminding myself and yourself. Somebody asks you, what are you? So you say, I'm a Muslim. Right? I'm a Muslim. My religion is Islam. Yes? And alhamdulillah, we say this. This season right now, meaning the Hajj season, is a great lesson and a reminder for this meaning that I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. Where did we get this title of Muslimin? Who gave us this title? Huwa sammakumul Muslimin. In the end of Surah Hajj, in the 17 Juz, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he named us Muslim. What is a Muslim? Like we say, I'm a Muslim. In reality, are we Muslim? Alhamdulillah. Yes, alhamdulillah. We also have La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah from the heart, and we try much as we can act upon the commandments of Allah, commandments and following the tariqah and the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, we do have shortcomings, we do sins, Allah forgive us. But alhamdulillah, we try our best. And we are Muslims, we say we're Muslim, alhamdulillah. We never bargain this for anything, inshallah. And Allah give us a death with Islam, Allah give us a death with Iman. This is the most important thing. Beloved friends, right now, if you remember maybe at the beginning of the, before the month started, maybe your Imam reminded you, right? See, deen, religion, our way of life, Islam, is not something that I want to do or you want to do and we want to do and we do something. We have no desire in our religion, in my, what I want to do. Right now, many of us have big, big mustaches. Every Friday we trim our nails, and on Fridays many of us trim our mustaches. Maybe every day too, or maybe. But many brothers, since they heard this hadith, Imam Muslim has narrated, it's an authentic hadith from Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Man kana lahu dhibhun yazbahuhu. A person who has an animal to sacrifice on the 10th of Zilhijjah, or the 11th or 12th of Zilhijjah, his animal, he's going to sacrifice an animal. This and the ibadat, the worship of blood shedding, yani sacrificing an animal is the greatest ibadat on that day. 10, 11, 12. Ihraq al-dam, in Arabic we say. In the hadith terminology, Ihraq al-dam. That's the greatest worship. So man kana, or maybe back home if we send some money, because there's a lot of poor relatives, poor students, poor whatever. So we send our money over there, not because it's cheaper, but because back home, you know, the poor and the old, inshallah, use our relatives. Understand? So our qurbani or our sacrifice animal is going to be sacrificed on the 10th, 11th, 12th of Zilhijjah, Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Somalia, Ethiopia, wherever, or those unfortunate countries right now like Palestine, Baghdad, Iraq, Syria, Misr, or any countries, wherever we send. But when we heard this hadith, the hadith is man kana lahu zibhun yasbahu faida uhilla hilal dhil hajj, that a person who intends to sacrifice an animal on the 10th of Zilhijjah, or 10, 11, 12, because those 3 days are of sacrificing, then, when the moon of Zilhijjah is sighted, when the month of Zulhijjah, the month of Zulhijjah starts, meaning of the hadith, the translation is when the faida uhilla hilal Zilhijjah, when the Zilhijjah moon has been sighted, then فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا مِنْ أَظْفَارِهِ شَيْئًا حَتَّى يُضَحْيَ. This is Imam Muslim has narrated, it's authentic hadith, that you should not take, and a person who knows Arabic, even though all the ulama do not say the command is as a wujub, in Rasulullah did not command it as, you cannot, and if you did, you'd be a sinner. No. But for me and you, if Rasulullah says anything, we act upon it best to our ability. فَلَا يَأْخُذَنَّ. So, and another, just put a masla to the side so you understand, because somebody might be worried. You know what? Every day I've been, well, if you're trimming, if you're shaving your beard, you're not supposed to be. But if you're trimming your mustache or after that, even if you did, it doesn't mean you can't sacrifice. It doesn't mean it has effect on your sacrifice animal that back home, or if you're going to do it in the farm here. It doesn't have any effect, meaning that it's not, it's complete, inshallah. Inshallah, your sacrifice will be complete. Because the ulama say the command is not wujubi, فَلَا يَخُذَنَّ. But it's a, look, when you read the hadith, فَلَا يَخُذَنَّ, it's a noon ta'keed, it's a noon with a tashdeed at the end, which shows ta'keed, which shows emphasizing stress on something. So Rasulullah said, none of you, فَلَا يَخُذَنَّ, he should not indeed take from his azafarihi, from his nails, I mean, and from his hair, he should not do anything. He should not trim his hair. He should not trim, get rid of unwanted hair, like pubic hair, etc. He just should not trim his mustache. He should, you know, every Friday we cut our nails. He should not do that. This is why many of us, you see, Friday we haven't trimmed our mustache until they've gone big now, until we're going to sacrifice. So over 10, 11 days, we're not going to touch our mustaches. Every Friday we do. Sometimes every day we do. Every day some people trim their mustaches. But a Muslim, submit. All through the year, every Friday, we trim our nails. Because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah, we should. When we go for Jummah, it doesn't say not to take ghusl, it doesn't say not to put on itar, not to put on surmah, not all these other things. But فَلَا يَقُذُنَّ مِنْ شَعْرِ وَلَا مِنْ أَصْفَارِ. He should not take anything from his hair. So any hair of the body, he should not cut his hair. Right? He should not get rid of his unwanted hair from his underarms, etc. He should not get rid of, trim his mustache, and he should not cut his toenails and the fingernails. He should not cut the nails. That's asfar, right? That's what the hadith tells us to do. So we won't, because this is a Muslim. Now every Friday he does, but this Friday he did not do it. Why? Why? This is Islam. This is a Muslim. How much reward is it to read in Masjidul Haram? If a person reads one salah in Masjid al-Haram, how much is the little kids? Put your hands up. Alright. How much reward is if you read in the Prophet in the Masjid al-Haram, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, right? In Masjid al-Haram, where Baytullah is the house of Allah, the little ones. If you read, how much reward do you get? For one salat, how much times is it multiplied by it?
100,000.
Yes. How much? The little kids, come on. 100,000. And in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid, 50,000. In Masjid al-Aqsa, 50. Right? So, 100,000. Isn't it? What any haji on the 8th of Zilhijjah, or is there any haji who's doing Hajj right now, is he in Masjid al-Haram reading 5 times daily Salat? No. Where is he right now? Today they just finished their Arafah, right? And they'll be in Mina, Muzdalifah, Mina, Arafah, right? So how many days of Salat of 100,000 they will forsake? Because no, you won't. The Haji would not. In fact, if he doesn't stay for 1 second in Arafah, if he's not there in Arafah, and he said, I did my whole Hajj. So 365 days, that's the solar calendar, and then maybe 350 in the Islamic calendar, right? In the lunar calendar. Then if he was to sit and sleep and drink and eat in the plains of Arafah, but on the 9th of Zilhijjah, on the day of Arafah, from the morning until evening, if he did not if he's not present in Arafah, has he done Hajj? No. Hajj is Arafah. According to everybody, Hajj is Arafah. So he has to be present in Arafah. So deen is not following desires. Here, these people will not say, I want 100,000 rewards, so I'm going to read in Masjid al-Haram. No. Or he goes to Arafah, then he comes back to Masjid al-Haram for another salah. And then he goes back to Arafah, he comes back. No. He will do what Rasulullah did. This is deen. This is religion. Because now, it's not more beneficial to read in Masjid al-Haram for a haji. So deen is following. This is what you call Muslim. Submitting. This time of Hajj is a great lesson for us. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Aslim. Allah mentions this right at the beginning, in the first juz, وَمَنْ يَرَغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. And when the Lord of Ibrahim said to him, Aslim, you can translate it, be a Muslim. Was there a greater Muslim than Ibrahim alayhi salam who called us Muslimin? He said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen, I have submitted to the Lord of the universe. Submission. This is deen, submitting. There's no egos, there's no desire that I want to do this. Allah has commanded, the Prophet has commanded. Prophet has forbidden, Allah has forbidden, khalas. Khalas. Because whatever Allah, whatever Rasulullah commands or he commands or he forbids, is from Allah. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Because there's another fitna out there nowadays that people say only the Quran, nothing of hadith, na'uzu billah. No. For us, we have to. Right? So following what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sahabihi wa barakatuh sallam said. We see the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In this time and right now, this time, this, you know, beginning of this month, Zilhijjah, and all the rituals of Hajj and everything is a great reminder for me and you, my beloved listeners, that look, your way of life should be the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Rasulullah's life was like this too. Full of what? Mujahada. وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ. The true mujahid is the one who does jihad with his nafs. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُوَلَنَا. Those who strive in our path, indeed we guide. Those who strive in us, indeed we guide them to our paths. Not سَبِيلَنَا but سُوَلَنَا. To our paths, different paths. Allah will guide us. So there has to be sacrifice, mujahada, for the sake of Allah. And this is what we get, that special, unique quality in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, that we get this prophet full of sacrifice. And this is why Allah said, look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was so beloved Khalilullah, and look at this, that Allah says to you and me, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Allah says to us, قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Do ittiba of the millat of Ibrahim. Allah says in another place in the Quran, look at the title Ibrahim, and look at the إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً. Indeed, Ibrahim was a whole nation, ummah. One person, but such things he's done. كَانَتْ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً كانت لله حنيفة ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين ثم أوحينا إليك. And then we reveal to you Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم. That you do اتباع ملة إبراهيم. Look, all this season that all the things that the Hujjaj will be doing, and not just the Hujjaj, but even us in Canada, America, Europe, Asia, wherever they be in the world, they will be following a great sunnah. And this is the word that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. When the Sahaba said, "Mal adahi," what is the sacrificing of the animal? What is sacrificing? Sacrificing actually is in all the religions, all the divine religions that came from the heavens, meaning the Ahl al-Kitab, the Yahud and Nasara. Every religion has something called sacrifice. It's called also Qurbani. I don't know, in Bangla Zaman, do you say Qurbani? In Urdu, Gujarati, we all say Qurbani. And you know what? It's Arabic. You're saying, where is it Arabic? I've never heard of Arabic. Huh? Qurban, you have it? I'll tell you, look. Watlu alayhim naba'abani Adam bil haq. And do tilawat and read upon them. Watlu alayhim naba'abani, the story of the two sons of Adam. Watlu alayhim naba'abani Adam bil haq. Idh qarraba qurbanan. So now you know today, قُرْبَانِ قُرْبَانِ is also إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانِ فَتُقَبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. That when the two done qurbani, when the two done a sacrifice, one done a sacrifice of animal, one done a sacrifice of his harvest, and Habil's was accepted from the sky, and Qabil was. Previous ummah, you know what they had to do? When they would, after the spoils of war, after qurbani, they would put it and a fire would come from the sky and lift it up if it was accepted. So Habil's qurbani, his sacrifice was accepted, and Qabil's was not. And then we know the whole story of jealousy and all that. But that's not my topic. But why is it also called qurbani? Because it brings qurb to Allah. It shows. So this qurbani, maradahi, what is this sacrificing of the animal? This qurbani. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Huwa sunnat abikum." This is the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What is for us in this qurbani? For each piece of hair, there's a hasana. How about suf? How about wool? If it's a sheep, lamb, then how about, then what do we do? I mean, what do we get for that then? Then for each piece of wool, there's a hasana. In fact, the hadith says, before even the blood reaches the ground, Allah has accepted, inshallah. Well, if obviously, the person, ikhlas is the main thing in there, ikhlas, sincerity. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah mentions in Surah Hajj, in the 17th juz, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالَهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Indeed, the flesh and the blood of the sacrificial animal does not reach Allah, but your taqwa, your sincerity reaches Allah. So beloved friends, what time are we finishing, Abdullati? What time is it? 8:30. 8:30 is Isha Salah? What time do we have to finish?
It's up to you.
8:30 is Isha, okay. So qurbani is from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and this, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the sahabas asked, what is this sacrificing of the man? He said, huwa sunnat abikum. This is the sunnah, the way. Sunnah literally means the way, the tariqah of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So now, everywhere in the world, thousands and millions of Muslim people who submitted to Allah will be sacrificing animals, inshallah, on the 10, 11, 12 of Zulhijjah. Isn't it? Even though they're not in Hajj. So this is a reminder for you and me, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is what I'm talking about today. Okay, he said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. I've submitted to the Lord of the universe. Today I say I'm a Muslim. You say you're a Muslim. Right? But in reality, have we submitted everything? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was such status that nobody can imagine. Allahu Akbar. This is why, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah chose him, and Allah made Ibrahim his friend. And what is khalil? Khulla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was passing away from the world, he said, if I was to make a khulla, khalil, then I would make Abu Bakr al-Khalil. But my khulla is Allah. Khulla actually means, you know your undergarment that you wear and that is joined right to your body and your heart, your undershirt? You know, we wear undershirt. And that's, now, under the undershirt, then we have a jubba, kurta, shirt. And then after that, we have our jacket, and we have whatever, whatever. But the one that's right to our heart and to our body is that. So right there, close. So Rasulullah, if I was to make anybody khali'a, I'll make Abu Bakr, but the kulla of Allah. Because this, the closeness of Allah, there's nothing in between it. So that is a title that he got. Such a title. And look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the submissing in his life. And not just his life, but the training he gave to his family, including his children. And this was his dua too. And this is dua, every single dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is accepted. And he was such a man, subhanallah. This is why, look, the greatest form of salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that which Rasulullah sallam taught us. After the sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we know how to give salam, like you taught us, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, assalamu alayka. We know how to give salam. But how do we give salat when Allah says, Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi? That I read at the probably beginning of the khutbah. Allah, and we said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. So we say Rasulullah's name and the Prophet Ibrahim's name 5 times a day, the whole ummah does. Imagine, how accepted is this Prophet that we mention him in our salat too, like the way you mention Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not that, na'uzu billah, we do not worship anybody besides Allah. But meaning that this is the status. Because his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his status and his virtue and his acceptance was this, that all the great religions, Christianity, Judaism, and all the great religions that are from the divine, from the sky, they take Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as father of all the religion, the father of all the prophets. And he was indeed. Why? Because this life of sacrifice. From the time he was born until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life full of sacrifice. He's born in an atmosphere where people are worshipping idols. Everybody is worshipping idols. Worshipping besides Allah. In fact, his uncle, not his uncle, the Abi, his father used to make idols and also sell idols. They all used to worship idols, that whole society, all his surroundings. So the mahol, we know we said we get influenced by this, the, you know, our surroundings evil, so we... But look at, none of us in Canada, none of us in North America has a surrounding like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. Not even one believer there is. And this is why, you know, some people, they, many times they ask, I don't really want to discuss this, but many times people say, what happened if somebody never got da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, Allah will judge for him. That's not even our business. But you know, sometimes people ask questions which are not even necessary. That, oh, what happened if the message never got to somebody? But this ayats of the Holy Quran show that a person's intellect, a child like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلَ وَأَكَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. When he looked at the stars, he said, this is my Lord. And when the stars disappear, he said that I do not love those that disappear. Then when he saw the moon, he said, this is my Lord. No. And when he looked at the sun, he said, this must be my Lord, because this is the greatest, massive. No. And then he said, if Allah does not guide me, I'll be from those who are astray. Then inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifan wama ana mushrikeen. Allah guides him. And so his surrounding. When in this surrounding he gives da'wah to his people, he sees his people that they're worshipping these idols. He sees that they put food, and when they go away, mouse and rats come from behind the idols and they eat up the food. He sees that there's a fly on the idol, and the idol can't even go like this to the fly. Just like this, right? He said they're worshipping, so it doesn't make sense, this young boy. And this is why I say to my young friends, my beloved young friends, until the age of 40, you're still shabab, you're still youth. Right? Those 7 such people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne, when there will be no other shade but Allah, is that one person, is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah, that youngster who spends his youth in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I say to my beloved friends, this, all these things is in his youth, not youth as a child. He's growing up like this in his youth. Because the Quran even says this about his youth. So what happens is he gives them da'wah that, no, this is the wrong thing. This is not right what you believe in. So they used to be very upset. They said, oh, don't swear, don't say bad about our idols. So one day he said that, let me give them the dawah. So, udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'izah. Call towards Allah's path with hikmat and wisdom. And a child like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, such hikmat and wisdom. So the day when they were having a great festival and they were going out to celebrate their Eid or their great day of festival, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when they said to him, are you coming? He said, inni saqim, no, I am sick. I'm staying back. But actually why he stayed back home was to go into their place of worship where they used to keep all the idols and give them da'wat. Give his people da'wat. So he had a plan. So when they went, he went and he smashed up all the idols. Took an axe and bang, bang, smashed them into pieces. And the big idol, the biggest one that they had, he put the axe around the neck of the idol and left it and went away. So when they came, because now they came from their Eid merrymaking, now they're gone to worship their idols into their ibadat khana. So when they went, they said, oh, قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Who has done this to our Lord? He's a zalim. He's an oppressor. So then, this is what I want to tell you. The Quran says, one of them, some from amongst the audience, some said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَن. We heard a youngster, فَتَن. فَتَن, this is the word that Quran uses. Like we see in Surah Kahf, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Fitya, fatan. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. I'm saying to my young friends here, okay, youth, your young age, what you do. So this is, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَيْنِ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُوا لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Yes, everybody in our society loves and worships and gives reference to the idols. But yes, we've heard a youngster named Ibrahim. He almost told us, why are you people not understanding? This is foolish. You can't worship these idols. So it must be him. So then they go to Ibrahim, all of them. And Ibrahim was the one who stayed back. So said, did you do this to our Ibrahim, to our idols? So he said, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُمْ كَبِيرُهُمْ. No, but he said, no. The big one. So now, see the da'wat he gave them. Every time he said to them that they can't even move a fly. They can't even speak to you. They can't even hear you. They can't even give you the food that you put for the rats and mouse eater. Forget that fly that goes on its nose, it can't even move it. How is it going to give you? So then when he said to them that, no, the big one did. Fas'aluhum. Ask the big one. So what happens? Shut down. Quiet. Oops. What can they say? Okay, we'll go and ask him. Okay, hey, who did this? you're intact. Nothing's wrong with you, man. What's wrong with... Well, who did this to the other ones? Who broke them? They couldn't do that. Because they know. Okay, they don't speak. But that's the da'wat. But subhanAllah. Beloved friends, this is why we have to do shukr to Allah. Not have takabbur. And not to think somebody hakir. Sometimes a person sees a doctor with so many degrees, and he's worshiping idols, or he drinks urine of cows or something like that. He's got he's the greatest surgeon in a hospital, everything. But and then you think him a fool. Look how stupid, idiot. You think all these things, and you're not supposed to think like this. You're just supposed to think Allah guide him. Look, but Allah's not guided him. Allah doesn't guide. Allah guides. If Allah can guide me and you, we won't be guided. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا هَدَانَا اللَّهِ. If Allah didn't guide us, so nobody should ever think anybody hakir, small. So, yes, Allah did not guide them. Even after He gave this da'wat, they broke it. But what did they do? Give Him punishment. Thus, now we will burn Him alive. Roast Him alive. So they made a big fire. And then they threw Him into the fire. But fire is under the command of Allah. So the fire, Allah commands to the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْضًا وَسَلَامًا. And we said, O fire, become cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. And the fire became cool and peaceful. This is his youth, a youngster. And now you know this youngster, he leaves his family, his mother, father, everybody. Because why? His father kept on saying, you cannot, you keep saying things. So then, look at the way the Quran speaks. My beloved youngsters, look at this. For me and you to understand, my beloved youngsters. Is your mom and dad mushrik? Alhamdulillah, no. Did they ever tell you to commit worship idols? Alhamdulillah, no. Right? So now look at the way Ibrahim speaks to his father. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِذَا قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ. He says, oh my father, oh my father. Read those ayats in Surah Maryam, the second or third book of Surah Maryam. Read it. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. And يَا أَبَتِ, يَا أَبَتِ, يَا أَبَتِ, يَا أَبَتِ, يَا أَبَتِ. Oh my father, oh my father, oh my father, oh my father. Please listen, oh my father. And then at the end, his father said, you better straighten up, otherwise I'm going to give you a great hiding, beating. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. Oh my father, peace be upon you. أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِيهَفِي. In the near future, I'm going to ask forgiveness from you, father. I'm going. And then Allah mentions his istighfar. وَمَا كَانَ istighfaru إِبْرَاهِيمِ لِأَبِيهِ. In the end of Surah Toba, in the 11th juz. وَمَا كَانَ istighfaru إِبْرَاهِيمِ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مُعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهِيَا. Ibrahim's istighfar for his father was not but that he made a promise. Because why? You're not allowed to do istighfar for non-believers, even if they're your mother and father. If your mother and father dies with, you know, without la ilaha illallah, you can't even do istighfar. But in the dunya, look at the way that he's respecting his father, and he said, "Ya abati, oh my father, oh dad, you fool," and this and that. He didn't, you know, sometimes we get mad with our mother and father. It's really wrong, beloved youngsters. وَلَا تَكُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَكُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. The Quran says, lower the wings of submission. Do not even say oof to your parents. So this is a lesson for us, how Ibrahim is behaving with his mushrik father, who's trying to compel him to do idol worship, and was compelling him not to do tabligh, was compelling him not to say any bad things about the idols. But he says, and then he leaves him, and he does hijrat. Hijrat means to leave one place to a place where a person to leave a place where he is restricted in his religion, and he fears that he'll lose his religion. That so he do hijrat. So he done hijrat, and then Allah guides him. Then now his whole life is full of sacrifice. Look. Allah says, and Allah certifies. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. And when the Lord of Ibrahim tested him, فَأَتَمَّهُمْ, and he completed all of them, and he fulfilled all the tests, and he got the top marks, we'll say, right? And exams. Like exam given and exam passed. Top marks. Meaning Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, everything fa'atammahun. And then Allah said, قَالِهِ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Oh Ibrahim, I'm going to make you a imam, a leader. That today, the whole Muslim ummah, all the rituals of Hajj concerns this family of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. And even the ones who are not pilgrims, the ones who are not in Hajj, Allah accept all the Hajj. Let me just tell you another thing, beloved friends who are here, a very important point. You know, today, we forgot one thing, which is unity, love, and muhabbat. We can have difference of opinions, different of things. Today was the 9th of Zulhijjah, and the 10th of Zulhijjah started in Arafah, isn't it? Tomorrow, they will be celebrating. What day is it tomorrow? Tuesday. Yeah, tomorrow they will be celebrating Eid, right? And people who follow the Hilal Committee in Canada and they don't follow Saudiya will be celebrating on Wednesday. Allah accept their, Allah accept ours. Allah accept even the brothers who are doing Eid tomorrow here. Obviously, they're not going to pray Salat here because usually it's a family thing. We love each other. No ill feelings. Open up your hearts, beloved brothers. And if there's sisters listening, open up your hearts. It's alright. It's alright. One of my students asked me, okay, when do I do Eid? I go, when is your family doing Eid? So we were going to Ottawa. So my uncle and he said we will follow Saudi Arabia. I go, yes, you do Eid when your whole family does Eid. Nothing to, okay, we're right or you're wrong, or we're right or you're wrong. No, forget it. And I don't want to give you no dalils, no proof that I follow Hilal Committee and I'm doing Eid on Wednesday, so I want to give you proof to change you. No. If you're doing Eid on Tuesday because your family's doing Tuesday, alhamdulillah, Allah accept yours, Allah accept mine. Open up your hearts, beloved friends. It's no time to have these little issues make them big. My brothers and sisters around the world, your mother, your sisters, your daughters and mine, what's happening to them in the world right now? What's happening in Palestine? What's happening in Iraq? What's happening in Afghanistan? What's happening in Bangladesh? What's happening in India? What's happening all around the world? They're being slaughtered, being Muslim. And we're going to fight about little issues like this? No way, beloved friends. So keep your heart open in this. Right? Whatever. If somebody just comes, my beloved brother, Allah accept yours. Eid Mubarak to you tomorrow. That. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you're right. Nothing to argue about. Nothing to worry about. Open up your hearts. Allah accept everybody's Eid. Allah accept everybody's Yom Arafah. Allah accept everybody, everything. And who, if anybody says, oh, look, Yom Arafah is there. They're spending Arafah, this and that. Say, beloved brothers, no, we don't want to have no dalils. We don't want to prove you're right or I'm right or you're wrong. Allah accept yours. Allah accept mine, my beloved brother. I love you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Nothing to argue about. Nothing to worry about. Allah accept. Because there's no time to fail. Okay. So that's a very important point. Because, you know, this is a matter, especially you people out there, you get very confused that, oh, how come Arafah is there and this and that. Like I mentioned the hadith right now. فَإِذَا أُحِلَّ حَلَالَ ذِلْحِجَّةِ That when you see the moon of Zilhijjah, then you don't cut your nails. So it doesn't matter. So if there's moon sighting, alhamdulillah. If there's people following Saudi, you know, other countries, alhamdulillah. No problem. Allah accept everybody's. So we don't need to think about that. So alhamdulillah, my beloved brothers, open our hearts. We cannot hate each other. We're Muslims. We're supposed to love. This is the main quality of those who Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ شِدَّاءُ لِلْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ They're very stern upon the non-believers. And رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ Affectionate, loving and caring. This is one of the first qualities Allah mentions about the Sahaba Ikram. This is why we had success. We need to have this, you know, open up our hearts and not make a big issue about these little things. And from the time of Rasul, from the time of Sahaba until today, many, many issues, you know, in Salat and this and that, there's different of opinions. Never did anybody curse or, you know, hurt or not. Was there any fist fights or arguments or nothing? Alhamdulillah. When we argue on that, then we'll lose our wind, the Quran says. وَلَا تَنَازَوْا فَتَفْشَلُوا رِيَكُمْ Allah says, do not fight, do not argue. You'll lose your wind, you'll become weak. No, don't argue. Khalas. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So now the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his whole life. When the Lord of Ibrahim tried him and he completed all his exams. Every single one he passed. Every single one he fulfilled. And the exams were such that you and me cannot even think of. Imagine. Persons making dua. Oh Allah, give me pious offspring. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Right? So, now we don't know when he got married, but say a person got married at the age of 20 or those days maybe 17, 18, right? And then 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 80. The ulamas, they say 86 years old and he got his first son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And at the age of 99, his first wife, and he has a Sarah, got the second son, Ishaq. Remember, the Ahl al-Kitab, they try to confuse, and they say the one who was sacrificed was Ishaq, but it's not. All the Quran ayats and everything proves it, that it's Ismail salatu wasalam. There's an aqidah, we know that for sure. And even they do, they know it too. They know it very well, but you just want that, you know, thing. So the one who was sacrificed was Hazrat Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And how great was this prophet? So Allah said he completed. And then Allah said, I'm going to make you a leader. And he said, وَمِن زُرِّيَّتِي Look, he remembered us. And from my progeny. So Allah said, yes, even from your progeny, but my covenant will not reach those who are zalimeen, oppressors, meaning who do wrong. Eh? And then he made duas. Now Allah tested him in many, many ways. Now at the age of 86, after having a son, and when the son reaches the age of فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ When he reaches the age of helping out to his father, age of running, walking perfectly, in 9, 10, 11 years old, then Allah commands Ibrahim a.s. in a manner which a person could say, make up excuse for. The Prophet could have said, it's only a dream. His son could have said, yeah, dad, it's only a dream. Or the dream has a meaning like this. So Allah didn't, this wahi, revelation, is five ways. Revelation is in. And the Nabi, the Prophet's wahi, the Prophet's dream is also a form of wahi, revelation. It's a command. So Allah does not give direct wahi that, oh Ibrahim, through Jibreel salatu wasalam, sacrifice your son. But he says, Ya bunay inni ara fil manam. Ibrahim salatu wasalam is saying to his son, oh my beloved son, in a dream, I'm seeing that I am sacrificing you. Not that I have sacrificed you, but I am sacrificing you. So the son says, Ya abatif alma tu'mar. Oh my father, do as you're commanded. Beloved friends, But let's go before that. Let's go before that into his exams. I explained the one exam, of leaving his whole family and leaving the idol worshippers and leaving them. Okay, and then him being thrown into the fire, and then him going through in his life the right now we're talking about the exam of the sacrificing of the animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's commanding him to the sacrificing Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's commanding him, He commands him through a dream. And then he's telling his son this. After 80 years of dua, he gets a son. And when the son has reached this age of helping out, Allah commands. Right? And who was this son? This son was this one that 80 years of dua, after making dua, then Allah also gives him a son. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen," I've submitted. So if Allah said to Ibrahim, off you go. Stay, you go. Yeah. So now, before that, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the child was born, and he is still breastfeeding, he's still having milk from his mother, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam takes his wife Hajar and his son Ismail. They put on a mount. Some say al-Baraq. It's the hadith of Bukhari. It's a long narration. And Jibreel salatu wasalam takes them to a place. Wherever there's greenery. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is asking Jibreel, here? No. And then when they get to that barren land. What's that barren land? What is it? Makkah. Yeah, Bakka. Inna wala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lilladhi bi-Bakkata. Bakka, ya Makkah. That barren land where there's no cultivation, where there's no greenery, nothing. That is the place where Jibreel says, off the mount, we go. And his father, right, Ibrahim salatu wasalam, the baby Ismail, and the mother. And then Jibreel salatu wasalam, and then Ibrahim salatu wasalam has to go for them and leave them. Imagine 80 years of dua and he has a son, and now Allah even says to leave. Imagine the pain he's going through in leaving that son, that it says in the narration of Bukhari 2 that the mother, Hajar, she's running after her beloved husband and saying, "Oh, you're leaving us in this earth, in this land, which is totally barren, there's nothing here, and you're leaving us." And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is just looking down, not even looking back, and walking forward. And all he's left with them is water and dates. A basket like a day nowadays, we have lunchbox, right? A box of dates or whatever, a basket of dates and water. And he's walking away from there. And she's running after him. "You're leaving us here?" But she is tarbiyat. She stayed with her beloved husband. And she knew, "This husband of mine has said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen, I've submitted." So she knows for sure there must be a reason. The hadith of Bukhari is there. It's a long tradition. So she asks, "Allah amaraka bihada? Did Allah command you to do this?" When he's not replying, he's just walking away, he just nods yes. And she said, "Then Allah will not let us perish." Imagine. Now, no woman of this time and age, forget a woman, not even a man. A man. You have your baby child there. And you, in Makkah at that time, now remember, there's nothing. At night, after sunset, when it's pitch dark, not even one speck of light. That we have all this light pollution. There was no light. Nobody. There's the desert wolves. Right? There's the scorpions and the snakes. And really, they had a lot of jinns. Well, no, they did. But it's another creation. Right? Everybody gets excited when you talk about jinns. But this is the Quran. But there was a lot of other things. We're just in a dark room and we get afraid. What is this mother going through? But look at this mother. She is the wife of Ibrahim. This is the family of Ibrahim. This is why you and me run when we go for Hajj. This is why me and you run when we go for Umrah. Between Milayni Akhdarain, the two green lights. All men from Rasulullah until today were running Understand, when we do Umrah in the Sa'i, don't we? Who ran? Our mother, our great-grandmother, as a Hajra, she ran. For what? So now, he leaves them. Now, she's feeding the child. But remember, now the father is going away, walking away. But imagine the heart that he's going with. What feeling? Well, when I was 12 years old, and I went to Darul Uloom Arabi Islamia Bury to study. I was 12 years old, my brother was 10. He was a youngest student there, right? 350 in England. And we didn't come home until 2 years. We did not see Canada. We did not see mother and father. And we have four sisters. We did not see family, nor did we spend Eid with our family, right? Not Bakra Eid with our family for 2 years. After two years, we used to come home. A mother is a mother, even a father. Imagine the feeling that they get of that. Just how many people coming back? So imagine the father, he's leaving his one lovely child, 80 years of dua, and I have this lovely child, I can't even be with him, and hug him and kiss him, and you know, seeing him grow up, Allahu Akbar, nothing, and this my lovely wife here, I have, bas, Allah's command, and then he's walking away, and then he looks towards them, and then he lifts his hand, and imagine the power in his dua, because this person has submitted such power. Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyyati biwadin ghayri dhi dharin 'inda baytika al-muharram. That it says, Rabbana inni askantu, O Allah, I've dwelt my family in a wadi ghayra dhi zara, with a wadi, a valley without any cultivation, without any greenery. Zizarin, in the Baytikal Muharram, near your sanctified house. And Baytullah was not built at that time, but the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, from the time of Adam, used to pray, and at the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, in the flood, Allah, it got covered up. But Ibrahim salatu wasalam knew where Baytullah, because he was a prophet. So in the Baytikal Muharram, Rabbana liyukim as-sala faj'al af'idatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum min ath-thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. That make people's heart incline to them and bring people to them and give them a society environment, give them a, you know, in families to be with them here. This is dua. And give them of thamarat, give them of fruits and, you know, all things. This is why when you and me go to Makkah, we change, we taste and we see such things that you don't see anywhere around the world. And this is why when we go to Makkah and Medina, Rasulullah made dua for. And Makkah, Ibrahim Islam's dua. Right? So she is there by herself, but this is the dua he gave from far away. And remember, look at after that, he also says this, فَجَعَلَ فِيدَةٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ تَحْوِيرِينَ وَزُقُمْ لَثَّوَاتِ الرَّشُمُ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلُمُ مَا نَكْفِي وَمَا نَعْلِمُ وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ. Okay, before that he said, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ O Allah, so that they become establisher of salat. Look at the importance of salat. And then he makes dua, Alhamdulillah. So that's in the 13 juz, that in that ruku, the scene of, you know, when he's leaving his family, he makes dua. Even in the first juz is there, in there too. وَرَزُقْهُ مِنَ الثَّمَارَةِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. In the first juz, truth is about him making dua. Now he's left his family. Then when the son reaches age 9, 10, when he comes back one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to get rid of him. Yani, sacrifice him. And then when he goes to sacrifice him, he tries his best. Allah falamma aslama wa tallahu lil jabin wa nadayna. First, when he goes and he sees this dream, he's there with his probably lovely son for some days. And why? The ulama, they say this, where one time when he had to leave Makkah and go back to Palestine, then when he was leaving, he was feeling sad. That my beloved son and my wife, I'm leaving them here. So Allah is the knower of the hearts. So the closer a person is to Allah and the Prophet, his Prophet, their tests and their exams are great. And it's no mistake whatsoever, it's natural. If you have to leave your son and your wife for so long of a period, it's natural that you miss them. Oh, so in your heart, is your son's space there or is my space there? Is it your heart for me? Is your heart for your son? Is it the love of your son or is it me? Okay. So when he came that next time, now he sees a dream. And in the dream, you sacrifice. Get rid of that son. You love me? You said, I've submitted? Allah didn't want this to happen. Allah didn't. This is not the command, meaning that Allah wants us to sacrifice our children like that, can take a slaughter them. Or nor did he want that for them. Just to test him, to make the world understand this is what you call a Khalil. To make the world understand this is why I've accepted all his duas. This is why he said, Rabbana ubath fihim rasulam minhum. This is why I give him, and from his progeny, Karim ibn Karim ibn Karim from one son. Yani Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim from, yani from one son. And from the other son, the Prophet Ismail salatu wasalam, and from there, the Prophet Muhammad salatu wasalam. Why? Because for us to understand, this is why Allah tested him like this. So now when he comes, he sees this dream, he asks his son, and the son says, "Oh my father, do as you're commanded. Ya abatif al ma tu'mar, satajiduni inshallah min sabirin. You'll find me from those who are steadfast. And many people before me were very, very patient, and I will be too, so much humbleness." And then the Quran says, satajiduni inshallah min sabirin. And then after, the Quran says, falamma aslama. Falamma aslama. Aslama, and he became a Muslim. Or he submitted. Aslama, they too submitted. The son and the father submitted. Remember he said aslamtu. And the word in the 23rd juz in Surah Safat, after Surah Yasin, this incident, Ya bunayya inni ana fil manami anni asbahaka fandur. So Allah says, falamma aslama, when they both submitted, and he, Ibrahim salatu wasalam, had him lie down, and he was lie down, and then he had him face down, so the eyes do not meet. And the son is giving some nasiyah to his father, crying to that, "Don't, this is my only one pair of clothes, that bury me in this, and don't let blood go onto your clothes too. Make sure blood doesn't flow onto your clothes, because when you go home, mom will cry." Do like this, and he's trying his best. But like the way Allah said to that fire, Ya naru kuni bardan, Allah said to the fire, "Don't you dare touch, but become cool and peaceful." So Allah's commanded the knife, "Don't you dare cut Ismail salatu wasalam's throat." And he's trying, but no. And then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and Ibrahim Ismail salatu wasalam saying, "La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar." And from Jannat, Jibreel salatu wasalam comes with wafadaynahu bizibhin azim, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. And Jibreel salatu wasalam comes with that ram of Jannat, and this is your wafadaynahu bizibhin azim. Such a ram that until Rasulullah's time, the horns were inside Baytullah. And then in the time of Hajjaj, when the Baytullah was catapulted and burned down, the horns were uplifted. But look, this Prophet, in this family and in this Prophet, all of us, we drink Zamzam. Where did Zamzam come from? Whose barakat is it? This Prophet. Today, me and you, when you go to Baytullah and you're doing tawaf, you're not supposed to do nothing but pray namaz near it, pray salat near it. What tahizu min maqam Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can look at it, for sure you can look at it. That's not shirk or bidah, haram. Understand? You don't, a person looks at it, you can look at it for 5-10 minutes if they let you, but you know, obviously nobody's going to let you. But it's alright because you're looking at it, nothing wrong with it. Because why? Fihi ayatun bayyinat. It's open sign. Until the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, until today, even though Baytullah was catapulted with fire, and the whole Baytullah burned, and the horns that from the ram that came from Jannah were burnt, but Baytullah in Masjidul Haram, we still see Maqam Ibrahim there, because Allah has said in the fourth juz, فيها آيات بينات المقام. It shows the reality of the Quran. The horns are missing, the ram's horn are missing, but what Ibrahim والسلام, stood on, and Ibrahim Ismail والسلام, passing him the stones, and the stone and the rock used to go up like this, like an elevator, and he used to think, when they're making Baytullah, it's still there today for you and me to see. The blessing of this family. Zamzam is for you and me to see, and not just to see, to taste, to drink, and to make dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifa'a min kulli da. This is the sunnah dua that Rasulullah used to read when drinking Zamzam. Understand? We still drink this. This is the blessing of this family. The mother is running from Safa, Marwa, after a couple of days, when the food is exhausted, when there's no more dates, no more water, she's dying of thirst and hunger, especially the child is dying of thirst and hunger because there's no milk. Now, so she's running from Safa. Is there anybody that can help? She's running to Marwa. Is there anybody? This is the hadith of Bukhari. And then finally, where Ibrahim Ismail is crying, you know, like a little baby, infant child crying. And then from where his feet is, a well, a Tijian well, Zamzam sprouts. And this is, so this is the reality of Zamzam. The reality of Maqam Ibrahim, the reality of sacrificing, reality of running between Safa and Marwa. You know, in the Jamrat, you know when they throw stones, you know what that is? Ibrahim Ismail, when he was going out to do Zaba, Shaitan came and tried to stop him. 3 times. And in those places where 7 stones, and Ibrahim ﷺ pelted Shaitan. So this is why until today we pelt Shaitan like that. Subhanallah. So this whole family. But why is this? Because this family was full of sacrifice, beloved friends. to such extent that it was trained to the extreme level of sacrifice. In this long hadith of Bukhari Sharif, we read that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then one time when he came back, and then the sacrificing event happened, then one time he said, Allah has commanded me to make his house, will you help me? And then they both made the house of Allah. And look at the dua that we should always make, Rabbana taqabbal minna. This dua is so beautiful that this is the most important thing. Is qarraba qurbanan fatuqabbila. When they done sacrifice, one was accepted, the other wasn't. The most important thing today for us is Allah accepts. Allah loves something for us. Even though it may be little. If Allah loves, Allah accepts, Allah can give you Jannah. Allah can forgive all your sins. Allah accepts. So it's after building Baytullah, after Allah commanded, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say, oh Allah, here I built the house of Allah, what do I do next? But he said, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul. Oh my Lord, Rabbana taqabbal minna, oh our Lord, accept from us. Indeed, you're the listener. And subhanallah, and ahead in this, Rabbana waj'alna muslimayn laka wa min dhurriyyatina. Oh Allah, make us two submitters. And Rabbana waj'alna muslimayn laka wa min dhurriyyatina. And from our progeny, ummatan muslimatan lak. And from our progeny, from our children, Allah, make a muslima ummah, make a muslima nation, make a nation which is submitted. Today, this is the barakat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu's dua. The Prophet, this is why Rasulullah himself said this in Hadith of Bukhari, that I am the result of my forefather, my grandfather's dua, Ibrahim alayhi salatu's dua. His dua, Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulam minhum yatlu alayhim ayatika wa yu'allimahum al-kitab al-hikmata wa yuzakkihim. Though Allah send amongst them a rasul from amongst them who will read your ayats and purify them and teach them hikmah. So this Ibrahim alayhi salatu's dua, and also look at this, so strong was his dua, the ummata muslimata lak, that Allah make us from this ummata muslimata. We should always make this dua for our children too. Rabbana waj'alna muslimin laka, Allah make me, my child, my son, my daughters, make us muslima to you, true submitters to you, and make from our progeny children who will be submitted to you. So this is the whole life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in there. In this long tradition of Bukhari, it says that one time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came back. So remember, one of his dua was Allah bring people there. So in the hadith of Bukhari says that once the tribe of Jurhum was passing by and they saw animals circulating a place. And they knew that this was a barren land, Baka, and there was never anything there. But if there's birds flying around that area, there must be some water or something there. So they sent one or two of their people in the caravan, go and check. So they saw, wow, there's a son, and there's a mother there. The mother is old, and the son has grown up to be a young man, an archer and strong man now. Understand? Irmu ya bani Ismail, fa inna abakum kana ramiya. O bani Ismail, practice archery. Your father, Ibrahim Ismail salatu wasalam, was an archer. So he's now strong, Ibrahim, he's a hunter, and he hunts food for his mother, and when his father comes, you know, now he's a young man, young, intelligent man, and his mother's old, Hajar, right? So they saw, and they see this beautiful water here. So they call all their caravan, hey. So they all come, and they say, so Hajar said, no problem, you guys can stay here. But the water belongs to us. You can take and drink much as you want. You can give to your animals much as you want. You can do whatever you want with the water, but you can't take over it. Because this is ours and this belongs. Because, and so they stay. And with them, Ismail salatu wasalam grew up and learned Arabic. And with them, and then when he grew up, this young handsome boy, one of them got their daughters married to him. Now this is why I want to tell you about this test. This is the Hadith of Bukhari. It's authentic. It's not fairy tales, it's the Hadith of Bukhari. So once, when he's gone out, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes when Allah has commanded him to come, and then he knocks on the door of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's house. His daughter-in-law is there, right? Assalamu alaikum, salam. Where's your husband? Oh, he's gone out looking for food. How are you living? He asks this question, how's your lifestyle? So she says, oh, we go through much hardships, and for days and days, and he has to go hunting, you know, so our life is very hard. So then he says, okay, when your husband comes back, give him my salams and tell him to change his door frame. And he walked away. He walked away. When Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam comes home at night or the next day or whatever, after hunting, and this is like Yusuf alayhi, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inni la ajid riha Yusuf. Ah, I smell the fragrance of Yusuf. He was blind. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was blind. And before even the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came, far away, and you can smell the fragrance. Inni lajidu. Father and son's connection, right? So here, the son's connection with his father, Ismail. The hadith of Bukhari, when he comes home, he says, did somebody come? So his wife says, yes, yes, yes. An old man came. She said, yeah. This old, what did he say? Because he knew this was my father. Because who can, this old man comes here? This is only my father, because he comes when Allah commands. He goes when Allah commands. So he doesn't even wait. Okay, he comes back from hunting. He comes back, I'll meet him. He'll press my legs and he'll do my khidmat. No. So he said, oh yeah. He said, what did he say? Oh, he said, salam. And he asked me, how are we living? I said, oh, we're going through much trouble. Yeah, what else did he say? He said, change the door frame. I said, oh. That's my father. Bye bye to you. Divorce. Go home. Aslamtu li rabbil alameen. I've submitted to the Lord of the universe. Like father, same way son. But my wife, how does my father know? Oh, I'm with my wife. We're by ourselves here. She's my comfort. He doesn't know. Nope. Go home. That's what he did. He just said, my dad was my father. He said to divorce you. This is the hadith of Bukhari. If anybody wants to see, you think I'm telling you fairy tales, it's not. It's in Bukhari. It's a long narration. It's authentic. The next time he comes after some time, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is not home again, and then he asks, how are you living? Oh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, very fine, everything. Come in, have some food with us. You know, have this. And she started feeding him and hosting him. And then he makes dua for barakat. He said, what do you eat? And then he made dua. And then, when he's leaving, he said, give salams to your husband when he comes. And he's talking to his daughter-in-law. Understand? His daughter-in-law. He's saying, give salams to your husband when he comes. And he said, strengthen your door frame. So Ibrahim Ismail Salatu, then Ibrahim Salatu Salam leaves, and then Ismail Salatu Salam, when he comes back, he, yeah, yeah. Did somebody come? Yes, an old man came, and he, yeah, did he say? Yeah, he asked me how we're living. I said, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah, it's very good, our life is easy. Yeah, what else did he say? And then I fed him, and then he said to me, he told me to give you salams, and he said to strengthen the door frame. He goes, okay, that's my father. And he keep her. Why? Why did he not keep the first daughter-in-law? And why the second daughter-in-law? Do you know why? Because this dua, رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, that from this daughter-in-law and this son Ismail of mine, from their progeny should come a prophet and come a ummah, that when calamity befalls them, when anything befalls them, they can do mujahada. They do not cry, they do not complain. Oh, why is Allah doing this? No, no, no. Even that prophet, even his companions, even the tabi'in and the taba-tabi'in, they will never complain, because this is a true Muslim. So this is why this daughter-in-law is suitable for her to be the great, 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 great grandmother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first daughter-in-law was not suitable, not because she was disobedient, not because just this. Okay, oh, we're having hardships. No, no, shh. You're not allowed to say anything when Allah gives you hardships. Allahu Akbar. What a life! What a life! This is the lesson from this. Allahu Akbar. Me and you, beloved friends, what hardship are we going? Allah, do not test us, we're weak. But what is the hardship the ummah is going through today? Allahu Akbar. Our mothers and sisters, what's happening to them? Our brothers are being slaughtered. What is happening in the Muslim ummah today? We should never complain, Allah, why are you doing this? Inshallah, they've died with shahadat. Inshallah, they've reached a status way higher than us. Inshallah, all of them who've been Muslim and pressed. But we make dua and cry. So this is blessed days. So this tomorrow, even the takbirat, the tashriq will start, inshallah. And on the 10th and 11th of Zilhijjah will be the greatest amal, will be the sacrificing amal. Remember, think. Imagine if Allah commanded me to sacrifice my son. Actually, sacrifice my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah take work from us. Allah use us for His deen. This is the main thing. So the whole lesson of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us and use us. And a sacrifice. This is why we're commanded to follow. Allah enable you and me, all of us in the whole ummah, to understand and take a lesson of this from this prophet, the whole family. Every single one. Did I not show you how Hajj sacrificed? Did I not show you how Ismail sacrificed? And look at the way even Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's second daughter-in-law, not even one complained that we have hardships. This is why from her progeny, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand? And Allah make us ummat al-muslimat. This is our Prophet ﷺ, what mujahada did he not do? 3 moons used to pass, and 2 moons used to pass, about 3 months, 3 moons used to pass, and 2 months over used to pass, and there was no food. So somebody asked Aisha radiallahu anha, mother, how do you spend your days? 2 black things, water and dates. And not so many lovely, lovely, best class dates. The third class, 1 or 2 dates in water. Months! I have to have my rice or my roti in that. But look, the Shulam's life. Just even a little bit of sacrifice. Today we just sit back. I know I'm sitting back too, having nice water, nice fan and everything. But even if you have to sacrifice a little, never complain, beloved brothers and sisters. We're so comfortable. But this is a lesson for us. Allah enable us to. Allah give us the nisbah with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And ponder over the life of the Sahabas and our Salafi Salihin, Rasulullah's life, the Sahabas' life, the Tabi'in, Tabi'in's life, read about them and see, compare our lives with theirs and say, you know, we can at least feel guilty that Allah, we're so weak, but Allah make us follow in their footsteps. Allah enable us to Allah stricken the halal, subhanAllah, this on the day of Arafah, remember, well, see, 9th of Zulhijjah, tomorrow the Takbirat, the Tashriq starts. So we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Also, at least 100 times, Rasulullah SAW, the dua of the Prophet, me and the previous Prophet in Arafah was La ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-kulli shay'in qadir. So at least 100 times, read that, right? La ilaha. Everybody knows the fourth prayer, La ilaha. And also, there's another dua, very comprehensive dua. Allahumma innaka tasma kalami wa tara makani wa ta'lamu sirri wa alaniyati wa la yakfa alayka shay'un min amri wa ana al-ba'isu al-faqir al-mustaghith al-mustajir al-wajhu al-mushriq al-muqir. معترف بذنبي أسألك مسألة المسكين وأبتهل إليك ابتهال المذنب الدليل وادعوك دعاء الخائف الضرير ودعاء من خضع لك رقبته وفاضل لك عمرته وذل لك جسمه وأريكم لك أنفه. اللهم لا تجعلني بدعائك الشكية وكل رؤوف رحيمة يا خير المسؤولين ويا خير المعتين. This is also dua Imam Tabrani has narrated that Rasulullah used to make on the night of Yawmi Arafah, 9th of Zulhijjah, which is tonight. Right? So this dua too is a long dua, but it's very lovely with the translation, if anybody. It's a very humble dua. So humble, Rasulullah SAW. The words, وَأَنَا الْبَائِسُ الْفَقِيرُ الْمُسْتَغِيثُ الْمُسْتَجِيرُ الْوَجِلُ الْمُشْرِقُ الْمُقِرُ مُعْتَرَفُ بِذَنْبِي أَسْأَلُكُمْ مَسْ. Such lovely words, Allah, with this dua is such. So this is also a dua. If anybody, maybe we have some photocopies here. Maybe some photocopies here. Just give it. Leave them here, right? Some photocopies there. If anybody's interested, right, to learn it, or we can put 1-2 up there at the back. And at least read this dua once. And if you can learn it off by heart, the brothers want to learn off by heart. They can take a copy and make some more copies. And learn off by heart for all your times dua, and at least put 1 or 2 up there so they can read it. Inshallah. Rasulullah SAW said, a dua huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah. A dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. A dua is silahul mu'min. Dua is a weapon of belief. And call unto Allah, and Allah accepts our duas. Allah accepts all our duas. So this is the weapon that we have right now. And really, you know, maybe today many of you are fasting. Maybe this all 9 days you are fasting, because 1 day's fast equals 1 year's of fast. 1 night's worship equals Laylatul Qadr worship. So maybe all every day. And when you break your fast, dua is accepted. But we're so busy looking at the food, smelling the food. But remember, there are many brothers who don't even have food. They don't even have shelter. So alhamdulillah, we do have food. Alhamdulillah is there. People are putting it for us. What should we do? We should be lifting our hands and crying for the ummah of Rasulullah. So duas are accepted. So after salah, duas are accepted. At the hajj time, duas are accepted. Between azan and iqamah, duas are accepted. And when you're fasting and you're breaking your fast, duas are accepted. So don't just be busy, but busy make dua for yourself, your children, your progeny, for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh, and for the whole ummah, for everybody, the whole ummah, all our brothers and sisters, that Allah take away the calamities. So at all times, make dua. And dua is sin. Today we don't have this yaqeen dua. We say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. That's all we say. We don't even know. Iyaka nasta'in. Allah, only through you we seek help. If somebody's going to throw a bomb on innocent Muslim brothers and sisters, they're going to be crushed, and their house is going to be crushed, Allah, you will stop that bomb. You will stop those 10 soldiers raping my sister or my mother. Allah, you will break their legs. You will thing them. If the guidance is not written, Allah, you'll break their legs. Because when you say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka, Allah, only you can help. With that power you make a dua, wallahi, your dua will have effect. Inshallah. Your dua will have effect. You have to have that feeling, and you have to have that cry, and make that dua to Allah. So, especially when, not in front of everybody, it's very easy to do ibadah, so you get a big wahwa. But when you're at night at tahajjud time,
When you and your Allah is there, cry in sajda, make dua in sajda, cry. In Arabic, make dua in nafil when you're reading tahajjud, and when you're doing sajda, you're closest to Allah. And Allah's closest to you at the last portion of the night. You're closest to Allah in sajda, and Allah's closest to you at the last portion of the night. So in hadith it says, when is dua most heard? Ayyu dua small. Qala jawful layl al-akhir, the last portion of the night, wa dubur salawat al-maktubat. In after Farz Salat, Imam Tirmizi had narrated this, Hassan, it's a good tradition, that after Farz Salat, after we read Farz Salat, to make dua collectively is not sunnah, right? Rasulullah and the Sahabas are not. But to make dua is proven. Rasulullah made Allahumma inna ladhikrika, he taught this dua. And also dua is accepted. Imam Bukhari has this also title. So after five times daily salat, we get a chance to make dua. But what do? We don't make concentration. We're supposed to say, Allah, forgive them, Allah, straighten the situation of the ummah, ya Allah, that straighten the ummah. So make dua. So inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to, and even between Azan and Qamat, make dua. This one uncle, his mother and his and the brother is sick. Allah gave them shifa'i kamila. Allah gave all the brothers and sisters of the ummah of Rasulullah, whoever are sick, Allah give them shifa, and whoever are in distress, Allah take away the distress. Whoever of them are in debts, Allah fulfill their debts, and Allah whatever hajat and need there, Allah give the best in the dunya. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه يا اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وتعالى متحنن على عبدك ونبيك وحبيبك وصفيك ومصطفاك ومخلص لنا مولانا محمد صل بالقلوب ودواه وعافيه الابدان وشفاءه ونصره وجلاله وعلى انسان يعلم كل نفس ومعلوم لك جزا الله عنهما سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم جزا الله عنهما سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم جزا الله عنهما سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم انا ندعوك الله ندعوك الرحمن ندعوك الرحيم ندعوك باسمك الحسنى قلها ما علمنا منها وما لم نعلم فاغفر لنا وارحمنا يا ارحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك وعهدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما سمعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو بذنبي فاغفرني فإنه لا يجوز إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا نفسنا طرفة عين يا حي يا قيوم اللهم ارزقنا اتباع نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرا وباطنا وقولا وفعلا وباطنا وأخلاقا اللهم ارزقنا اتباع نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل زمان وفي كل مكان وفي كل حال اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء والسنة والكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين تخفي الصدور اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أسوا استغفروا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك من ذريتنا امه مسلمه لك ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين ربنا واجعلنا أمة مسلمة لك وآلنا مناسكنا وتب علينا وتب عليها وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا إن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم استر عوراتنا في الدنيا والآخرة ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا فاعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم قسم لنا من خشم ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصاعب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسمائنا وبصائرنا وقوتنا ما أحيتنا واجعله الوارث منا وتغفرنا من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية ربنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك وله الحمد وهو كل شيء قدير. اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا من فوق سجدت منك وجدت. يا حي يا قيوم رحمتك المستغيث. الله accept us, الله accept our getting here. Allah please accept us. Allah forgive our sins. Allah straighten the situation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah forgive the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah take away the calamities from the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, all the calamities that the Ummah is in, Allah take away the calamities. Allah accept all the Hujjaj's Hajj. Allah accept all our amal. Rabbana taqabbal amalana. Rabbana taqabbal amal Ummah Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi hadha zaman. Allah, at this time, may Allah please accept all the amal of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, especially our Hujjaj brothers and sisters who proceeded for Hajj, Allah accept all their Hajj, Allah accept everyone's Hajj, and Allah give us a portion in their du'as and their ibadah too. Allah, even our ibadah and what we've done, Allah accept. Allah, and with this, Allah, make great decisions come down for the Ummah. Allah, the Ummah is in chaos and calamity, Allah. Indeed, it is through our amal. Indeed, it is because we have turned away from the Quran and Sunnah. This is why these halats fallen upon us. Ya Allah, but please do forgive us. We are the Ummah of Rasulullah. Enable us to hold steadfast to the Quran and Sunnah. And enable us to please you and your Prophet. Enable us to do such amal which will please you and your Prophet. Allah, forgive the Ummah. Allah, wherever the Ummah is in calamity, Allah, take the calamity. Allah, whoever is sick, Ya Allah, brothers and sisters, whoever is sick, Allah, give me shifai, amin, ajla, daima. Ya Allah, give Allah, our parents who are alive, Allah, give them a long life, and Allah, enable us to attain Jannah through there. Ya Allah, our children who are, Allah, make our children obedient to us, and make us obedient to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we've disobeyed you, this is why everybody disobeys us. Ya Allah, enable us to obey you and your Prophet, and make our children obedient, and our subordinates obedient to us. Ya Allah, forgive us all. Ya Allah, any person who's done any good to us, has done any ihsan upon us, Ya Allah, you give him or her the best of this dunya and akhirat. Ya Allah, any person we've hurt, we've asserted his or her rights, we've backbited, we've slandered, we've caused any inconvenience to, we've caused any hurt to, Ya Allah, you forgive us on our behalf, give him or her the best of dunya and akhirat. May Allah do not please take us to account for hukuk, the rights of your servants, and do not take us to account for your rights. May Allah accept us all. Allah, we ask for all those things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for. We seek refuge from all those things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam seek refuge from. Allah, in this gathering there are many innocent children, Ya Allah, who are totally masoom, who have no sins. Ya Allah, through the blessing of Allah, accept our du'as, Ya Allah, even though we're weak, we're sinful. May Allah, we're the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, we're your servants. And at the end of the day, Allah, you said to us, and Allah, we're asking, Allah, you do accept your du'a. Allah, be your king. Allah, enable us to spend a life in the manner which pleases you. Allah, in the tariqah of your beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, we ask for all those in the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We seek refuge from all those in the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Seek refuge from. Allah, amin. Ansafu makhir masafu minhu bi Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa na'udhu bika min shadhi nasta'adhu minhu bi Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa anta musta'an wa alika la la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.